Lucis Trust, a nonprofit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is financing spiritual work. And I'd just like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, who's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration that for the dialogue on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Money is the consolidation of the loving, living energy of divinity. The greater the realization and expression of love, the freer will be the inflow of that which is needed to carry the plan of God forward. Could you explain why money is the consolidation of divine energy?
I'll try. I think a lot of people who are spiritually oriented might be surprised at the thought that money could be an expression of divine intention, divine energy, but in fact it is, according to the ageless wisdom. Unfortunately, in the consciousness of a lot of very good spiritually motivated people, there's a great cleavage between what they regard as the life of the spirit and the life of the material realm. And I think that cleavage, that sense of separation, is part of the problem behind the whole issue of money. We, most of us, are aware that there's a terrible misuse and misdirection of money in the world, which, according to some analysts, is getting worse with every passing year. Kevin Phillips, the journalist who has studied the problem of poverty, has affirmed that, in fact, the great disparity between the few wealthy and the many poor is, in fact, widening, not only throughout the world, but even in this country, so that the great mass of the world's wealth is concentrated in the hands of just a few people. And at the same time, there's terrible poverty among millions, if not billions, of people in the world. So, how can money be the expression of divine energy? According to the ageless wisdom, the one God, the Creator, expresses through three. We've talked about the power of numbers before, the one, the three, and the seven. And the aspect of spiritual will or power expresses in three ways. Through law or legislation, we can imagine that that's power, it's temporal power, government, and so on. Through sex, which is certainly powerful, it's the creation of living human and animal forms, in other words, the bringing of spirit into the realm of matter to create form life. And the third is money. Money is also an expression of power. I don't find that hard to understand. What I think is a challenge is to believe that money could be an expression of spiritual power for the good, and that's what it must become.
It's an expression of spiritual power. I think it depends on how money is used, and the well, a lot of the power comes from the glamour attached mm-hmm. to money, and the accumulation of money, because it seems that the most powerful ones seem to be the ones who have the most money, and they can wield the power because so many people mm-hmm. respect money and for what it can do, what it can buy, and the place and position and so forth. And I think it's the power that we give it that really makes it so powerful. Money itself is just an energy. It's kind of a neutral energy, really.
But it is a creative force, don't you think, in essence?
Money.
Yes, you can create, you can build with it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's how it's used, if it's used wisely. And I think that's one of the things that we have to learn nowadays, is to learn to use this energy of money with wisdom. We're only now just beginning to realize that this great energy needs to be shared and allowed to circulate, so that all human beings can benefit from it. And I think that's the real essence of the power behind money, so that it's distributed more evenly, so that everybody can benefit from this great power.
Yeah, the word distribute is good to use when talking about money. It should be distributed rather than hoarded and kept for only a few. So many probably very decent, well-intentioned people think of money as something to gather in and hold for themselves and for their loved ones. And I think what we need to develop in our consciousness is a sense of money as a stream of energy that passes through our hands and that can be shared and distributed abundantly according to need, so that it flows freely. There's a symbol used by the recycling movement. People probably know it. It's a triangle composed of three arrows all going in the same direction, in a circular direction, mm-hmm. so that it expresses the flow of energy through recycling in constant movement. And the same could be applied to how we should use money. Let it pass through our hands for sharing with others. That's the only way it can do its creative work. Is that too naive? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. It's realizing that this is a divine energy, and that there is a divine source of power behind it. As it in the early days before paper money, we had mineral coming out of the mineral kingdom. You know, the gold and mm-hmm. the jewels that were considered valuable, and they became the currency of the time and the day. And also maybe seashells or whatever. But it's always been associated with something that is refined and pure and of great value because of the scarcity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is behind that, I think, is a great divine truth that there is a spiritual dimension to this money, to this energy of money.
I think that it is something we are learning to use more wisely. When you think back over perhaps the last 100 years, the growth of philanthropy is something that humanity can point to its credit. People contribute to philanthropies and give to organizations and charities that use the money for people who are totally unknown to the giver. So it isn't used just for one's own people or one's own family like it used to be. It isn't kept within one's own circle anymore by a lot of people. They give it to charities who then use it for purposes far and wide. And I think a splendid example is what's happening with the Gates Foundation. Naturally, he should share. He's the richest man on earth, Bill Gates. But his foundation is doing great good, particularly in the fields of healthcare and, I think, education. And that's an example of how money can be used for truly spiritual purposes, in the sense that good health, education are spiritual needs of a very understandable sort. What's difficult for groups like ours is to call upon people's desire to give for the work of spiritual education. It's much more abstract than, say, curing AIDS or dealing with malaria or educating a child. The kind of work that nonprofit groups such as ours do is more intangible, the fostering of goodwill through the dissemination of spiritual values and teaching. Probably seems more nebulous to people than curing illness. The challenge for groups that work with truly spiritual purposes in mind is really something in terms of gaining enough money for their work. But we're making progress.
I think there's an issue of responsibility that comes into play here once one begins to identify with a certain group or a certain cause. And if it's something, if a cause that you can really identify and with and are really locked into, then you have a sense of responsibility to help that organization with your financial support.
A personal investment, in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. And so many people don't, though. They get they read about it, and perhaps they say, "Yes, that's nice. How great that is," but then there's no sense of, "Well, I have to get behind this group and really support it." But I mean, we have a responsibility for paying bills and the mortgage and the rent and credit card payments, and so because we get something tangible in return there, but why shouldn't we feel equally responsible about receiving benefits from sources less tangible, like ideas and spiritual ideas that, as you say, that are more abstract, but nevertheless, they are ideas that give us more peace of mind. So that's kind of a non-tangible benefit.
We were talking to a fundraiser co-worker of ours the other day who was saying that the evangelists, the Christian fundamentalists, and particularly the evangelists, are really skilled at raising money. And we were talking about why this is so, and he said he thought it was that not only are they committed to the work of their church, but they believe that they themselves are personally responsible and implicated in the obligation to further the work of their faith, that the buck stops with them, so to speak. Somehow that is communicated to the believers who follow evangelist teachings. And that shores up what you're saying, that people have to be personally invested and implicated to be able to make the decision to share their own wealth.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is financing spiritual work. And as you might have guessed, Alice Bailey has written a lot about financing spiritual work. She has some very interesting comments on that subject. And if you would like to read what the writings of Alice Bailey say about money for spiritual purposes, you can order a compilation of extracts from her books on the subject of money. The booklet is called, quote, Money, the Meaning of Loving Distribution.
The medium.
Excuse me, the money, the medium of loving distribution, and it's a 33-page booklet printed on 8.5 by 11-inch paper. It's available for a donation, and we'll leave the amount up to you, but please send your donation to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, with a note requesting this booklet, and we'll send it to you. As we've mentioned before, we certainly need donations to stay on the radio, and so many people have expressed interest in our show, and saying that we are talking about the right values and explaining them in a very meaningful way. So if you'd like to see us continue on the air, this donation would help, and at the same time, you'll get some interesting literature from us, and as I've mentioned before, the amount that you donate for the 33-page booklet is up to you. Once again, the name of the booklet, the title is Money, the Medium of Loving Distribution, and that's a 33-page booklet You can just send the donation to us. Ask for the booklet, Money, the Medium of Loving Distribution. And you determine for yourself what you'd like to donate in order to receive the 33-page booklet, which we'll send out to you and be happy to do so. Once again, send your donation to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. It's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And send it the donation with a note requesting this booklet, and we'll send it to you. We also have a general package of information that contains a lot of literature about Lucis Trust, what we're all about, and I think you'll find that interesting, and you might be inspired from reading the literature and the general package of information to attend our meetings. People from all different religions and backgrounds come to the meetings, and I guess we're the commonality that we do have is the idea of the improvement of mankind, something we're all working on. So if you'd like the general package of information, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York, LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. I've always thought of money as being the symbol of my energy. I remember as a 14-year-old when I got my first job, I was so excited about it, and I just couldn't believe that my energy or that my work produced this money, which then bought me something. I remember the being in awe of that, but it's interesting to see it on a more spiritual level, that money can be the consolidation of the loving, living energy of divinity. That takes us a lot of to a lot higher level.
Yes, you were, as a 14-year-old, experiencing the power of your independence, or your approaching independence, when you realized you could make money, because that's an indication that you can sustain yourself. You can take care of yourself eventually if you can make money. Without money, you're dependent. So there is a liberating power to money. And then if we take that further and realize that we can use money to further ideals and causes and beliefs that are very dear to us, that also is a tremendous sense of power that comes to one. Choose something that you believe in, some ideal, some cause, and give your money to it. Share your resources and share abundantly to further that cause. And I think you'll find real joy and a real sense of power in being able to follow through on your beliefs and your ideals with a personal action, a personal expression of tangible physical supply to go along with and sustain your emotional and mental commitment. The act of following through with money on the physical level, in a sense, completes the commitment. And too often people give what might be called lip service and express ideals, but they don't really put themselves on the line by following through with their physical energy in terms of money and their own time, giving their time and their personal activity to this cause. So it completes the process. But in our work, we do emphasize money, a meditation for money. That may strike people as a bit ephemeral or too abstract, but we approach meditation in terms of power, the power of mental energy. And when meditation is practiced by a group, then it gains real power. And there is a meditation that's done by people all over the world on Sundays to redirect the flow of money energy throughout the world. It's not used for personal benefit. It's used to contribute to the redirection of money energy so that it will be distributed much more fairly and justly to alleviate the tremendous disparity in terms of its distribution throughout the world. And that meditation is included in that booklet you mentioned that's available for a donation. But again, one shouldn't participate in the meditation if one doesn't back it up with one's own personal expression of sharing of his own resources. You have to follow through.
So the whole practice is a way of kind of spiritualizing the whole issue of money, lifting it up off this very concrete physical plane and see it as an energy of loving distribution. It's energy that if it is given lovingly and freely, as it is expressed in the Bible, it will return to you. You may not get back the same amount of money, but what you will get is the benefits of the spiritual enlightenment that should come your way from supporting some kind of a spiritual group or a spiritual organization.
Years ago, a very spiritual person told me that she believed that money had a kind of a plastic quality to it, a pliable quality to it. And I believe she's really right in the sense that when your motivation is right and your intentions are unselfish, you do find that you can work with money in a way that might surprise someone who treats it as a calcified, densified material substance that can be measured in a very specific form. In fact, money is rather pliable if one understands it as an expression of spiritual energy. You've heard the term stretching a dollar. Well, I think there is some truth to that, that you can stretch money and make it work for you if you have a really spiritual understanding of money as simply the densest form of divine energy. And there's probably a connection between that and the parable in the Bible about Jesus dividing the loaf of bread and the fishes and feeding the multitudes. It can be expanded and stretched. Anybody who has ever tithed, shared 10% of his money, will find that it's amazing how much one has to contribute to causes, and still there's enough left for one's own needs.
Money, we have just to have to remember that money is a divine energy, just as is life itself is a divine energy, and it is the energy that sustains growth and is necessary for growth. So money should flow as freely as life itself, I believe.
It's something that we've got to work out in this society, particularly. The writings of Alice Bailey commented on the deep materialism of American society and that the last-ditch fight of materialism will be fought out in the U.S. So it's something that we especially, who have received so much wealth, must come to terms with.
And once again, if you would like to read about Alice Bailey's insights into money and the spiritual aspects of money, then just make a donation. It doesn't have to be a large one, although it can
yes,
be a large one.
It can be a large one.
We certainly need it to stay on radio. Send your donation to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And when you send your donation, whatever it might be, just send a little note along requesting this booklet entitled Money, the Medium of Loving Distribution. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, Let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
I don't have to tell you about the fast pace of living in the New York area and the day-in, day-out toll it takes on your health. You and I can't afford to get sick. There's too much at stake, too much to do. That's why I recommend and personally use E3 Live, a wild-grown superfood that double-blind studies show boosts the immune system. People may be sneezing and coughing all around you, but you'll be protected with E3 Live. But that's just the beginning. Scientists say E3 Live is an adaptogen, a healing food, that nourishes away hidden nutritional deficiencies behind the thousands of health imbalances whose names we can hardly pronounce. That's why the benefits of E3 Live are so numerous, including dramatic increases in mental concentration, energy endurance, reduced mood swings, natural weight loss, smoother skin, healthier hair, intestinal regularity. Whatever weak spots your body has, E3 Live fills in the nutritional gaps. The harvesters of E3 Live stand by everything they say by offering a guarantee yet to be matched by anyone in the health food marketplace. Up to a full year, if you don't feel a difference with E3 Live, based on your own evaluation, your money will be completely refunded. No questions asked. I strongly recommend you experience the benefits of E3 Live for yourself, just as I have. E3 Live is certified organic, kosher, and recommended by physicians and health practitioners worldwide, including Staten Island's own Dr. Fred Bishi, Olympic gold medal swimmer Grant Hackett, as well as people who ride the subway each day. So pick up the phone now and speak to a friendly E3 Live representative. Don't just survive.